Well, I hope if you've been coming to All Souls midweek at all, that you've grasped this one key truth, that if you are a Christian here today, that your ultimate boss at work is actually Jesus. The most famous verse that says that in the Bible is probably Colossians 3, verses 23 and 24 up there. It says, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving." So as Christians, in whatever we do, in how we act at the team meeting, in what we say to the colleague at the photocopier, in how we treat the customer on the telephone, in whatever we do, we are ultimately serving Jesus at work. Now, I would guess that amongst us, there are different reactions there to what I just said. I guess some of us, we probably think that serving Jesus at work is relatively easy. And others of us, we probably think serving Jesus at work is pretty hard. And actually, these two letters that we're looking at this lunchtime, they give us some help as we think about our service in the workplace. Because while the two churches, they are very different, you probably spotted it as Jeff read, they're like chalk and cheese. I mean, Sardis, the first one, Sardis has an amazing reputation. It looked a very alive church. Everybody flocked to visit Sardis. Whereas Philadelphia, it was small in number. The members of the church, they were worn out, they were exhausted, they were of little strength. While the two churches, they're very, very different churches, they do actually have one similarity. Now, I wonder if you spotted it. To both churches, Jesus says this little phrase, he says, "I know your deeds." I know your deeds. So to Sardis, if you look in the middle of verse 1, near the top of the page, he says, "I know your deeds." To Philadelphia, at the start of verse 8, he says, "I know your deeds." So Sardis, Philadelphia, they're very, very different churches, but both of them full of service, full of deeds. But I think we can particularly learn from Sardis when serving Jesus at work, when it seems easy. When people at work, when they know you're a Christian, but actually people still think that you're a sort of a pretty with it, hip and trendy kind of person. When you're climbing that career ladder fast, you're not stabbing people in the back to get there, but still, you're climbing the career ladder fast. When you feel like you're having a really big impact for Jesus amongst your colleagues. When serving Jesus at work, when it seems easy, well, then we can learn from Sardis. And how we can learn from Sardis, well, I think it's a bit like what happened to me on Tuesday night. You'll know Tuesday was Shrove Tuesday, pancake day. On Tuesday evening, I was having my pancake, as you do. I reached for the sugar to tip it onto my pancake. I thought I'd sort of pour on a good, healthy amount of sugar. I rolled the pancake up into a nice roll. I picked it up. I ate a mouthful. And I practically gagged and spat it out immediately. Because I'd managed to put salt on the pancake rather than sugar. It was a bit of a shock. And when serving Jesus at work, when it seems easy, what we learn from Sardis is a bit like that. It comes as a shock. It's like tasting salt when you're expecting sugar. It leaves a bit of taste in the mouth. It is a shock. And what we learn from Sardis is a shock, firstly, I think, because we learn this. We learn your service, it may not actually be pleasing to Jesus. Look at what Jesus says in the middle of verse 1. He's speaking to the Christians in Sardis, and look at what he says. He says, "I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but you're dead." So their reputation as Christians, it's sky high, it's vibrant, it's alive, it's successful. But the reality is morbidly somber. They are spiritually dead. And so when our reputation is brilliant, when we are respected in our workplaces as Christians, well, actually, we just need to check, does the reality match our reputation? Does the reality match our reputation? We might be serving lots, we might be doing lots, but actually Jesus' verdict on us, it could be verse 2. Just look at the next verse. Jesus says, Wake up. Strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I have not found your deeds complete in the sight of my God. And I take it that when Jesus says there, he says that he hasn't found their deeds complete, it's because they served in such a way that they maintained their great reputation. They never served Jesus in such a way as to lead to hardship or to lead to unpopularity. So when all is going well for us at work, can we just check? Let's just check that the reality isn't that actually we're far more concerned about our reputation in the eyes of our colleagues than we're concerned about our reputation in the eyes of our Lord. That's the first lesson from Sardis. The second lesson is this. When serving Jesus at work, when it seems easy, again, please, let's just remember, your service does not save you. Your service doesn't save you. Now, not everyone in the church at Sardis was being rebuked by Jesus. Most people were, but not everyone. If you look at verse 4, have a look at verse 4. Jesus speaking, he says, "Yet you have a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their clothes. They will walk with me, dressed in white, for they are worthy." So Jesus, he's talking there about people who don't have soiled clothes, people who are dressed in white, people who are worthy. But it's important for us just to grasp and understand why these people are worthy in verse 4. Not because sort of they're good boys and good girls who are serving lots. Not because lots of good deeds gets us to heaven. Of course it doesn't. A bit later actually in Revelation, it actually tells us how people can be like what it says in verse 4. It tells us how people can be dressed in white. It's Revelation chapter 7. Let me put it up on the screen. Verses 13 and 14 of chapter 7. It says this. "Then one of the elders asked me, 'These in white robes, are these dressed in white? Who are they? And where did they come from?' I answered, 'Sir, you know.' And he said, 'These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb.'" You see, your service, your deeds, they don't save you. It's not by doing lots of deeds that gets you a white robe. No, people are dressed in white, that verse says, not because of their deeds. They're dressed in white because their robes have been washed. They've been washed white in the blood of the Lamb. That is the blood of Jesus. There is only one way to be saved and to be in heaven, and that is to trust in what Jesus has done for us. His blood shed for us, paying for our sin. Our service, our good deeds, however good they are, however noble, they can never cancel out our sin. So when serving Jesus at work seems easy, when we're very, very successful, well, we just need to check ourselves. We just need to, I put there, recognize the reality. And actually, the reality could be, for some of us, despite everything going well, that our hearts are very far from Jesus. I don't know if you've seen in the papers how Jonathan Edwards, the former triple jumper, the current world record holder, the now hugely successful commentator, the professing Christian, Jonathan Edwards, apparently he's recently having a crisis of faith. Now, he's asked for privacy at this time, and it's, of course, right to respect that, as he wrestles with whatever doubts that are currently besieging him. And of course, it's good to pray for Jonathan Edwards too. All sorts of people face all sorts of doubts for all sorts of reasons. And it's not wrong to ask questions. It's right for Jonathan Edwards to be honest about it, to look for answers to those doubts he's having. But what I was particularly struck by in the article in the paper a few days ago about Jonathan Edwards was it said something that Jonathan said just a few years ago. And he said this. He said, "I always believed success would be the biggest challenge of my faith. I always believed success would be the biggest challenge of my faith." And so it's proved. Success has been a challenge to his faith. Or take a less high-profile situation. Take a Christian friend of mine. He recently sent me an email, and he said that his work at the moment, it's going really well. He's really enjoying his work. that he plays quite a bit of sport, quite a lot of rugby. And he said that was going really well at the moment. He told me in this email that he's recently started going out with this amazing girl. He said that that his relationship with his family, often it's quite strained, but at the moment that is going well. He said, actually at the moment, all these things are going really, really well in his life. And then in this email he asked for prayer. He asked for prayer that particularly because everything was going well, he felt it was so much more likely he might just push the Lord to one side and forget about it. And I think that was a very self-aware thing for my friend to say that. So for all of us, we just need to look at the reality of our lives. We need to recognize the reality, and it could be that for some of us, we do need to do verse 3. If you just look at verse 3, it's what Jesus says to the guys in Sardis. He says, "Remember, therefore, what you have received and heard, obey it and repent." So that's when serving Jesus at work, when it seems easy. But our second point, what about when serving Jesus at work seems hard? When it seems hard. When we feel marginalized at work because of our faith. When we feel it's just a struggle just to even remember that actually it's Christ who we're serving in our workplace. When we feel like, as we saw last week, that actually it feels like our workplace, it's where Satan has his throne. There are just so many struggles and temptations at work. What about when serving Jesus at work seems hard? Well, two things here to remember from the letter to Philadelphia, our second letter. The first one's this: keep holding on to Jesus. Keep holding on to Jesus. Think about the Christians in Philadelphia. They had little strength. They probably felt rather insignificant. And actually, I'm sure most of you, as Christians, if you're a Christian here, you're probably in the minority in your workplace. There'll be times when you feel quite insignificant at work. You may feel you have little strength to stand up for Jesus at work. It may even be like the Philadelphians. You're facing opposition from those you work with because you're a Christian. Well, Jesus, he would encourage you to model yourself on these Philadelphian Christians. Just look at halfway through verse 8, would you? Look at verse 8 and what Jesus says to them. He says, "I know that you have little strength, yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name." Or look at verse 10, right at the bottom of the page. He says there, "Since you have kept my command to endure patiently." Now, these Christians in Philadelphia, they're a great role model to us. They don't deny Jesus' name. They endure patiently. And so Jesus, he just encourages them. He encourages them by verse 11. If you look at verse 11 on page 1236, he says, "I'm coming soon. Hold on to what you have." He's encouraging them to hold on to God's word, ultimately to hold on to their relationship with Jesus himself. So that's the first thing. Keep holding on to Jesus. Don't give up. Don't let go when it seems so tough serving Jesus. Keep holding on to him. And then secondly, keep taking opportunities. Keep taking opportunities. The temptation, isn't it? When things are hard, when things are tough, the temptation is to hide, to sort of duck our heads below the parapet, to not get involved. That would have been the temptation of these Christians in Philadelphia. But Jesus, he says verse 8 to them. If you just go back over the page and look at verse 8. Jesus says, verse 8, he says, "I know your deeds. See, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut." Now, commentators disagree whether it's an open door to witness to other people or whether it's an open door to salvation. But it doesn't really matter. Either way, it's about opportunity, isn't it? Jesus is saying that even though it may feel like we're in a very, very tough environment, there is an opportunity sitting there waiting to be taken, this open door. And that's exactly the same in our workplaces. Whether it's an opportunity to discuss a big issue with a colleague, whether it's an opportunity to explain to someone why you're a Christian, whether it's an opportunity just to worship God as you do some mundane task in your job, but as you remember as you're doing it that it's ultimately Jesus you're serving. Jesus says to us, keep taking opportunities to serve me. And don't retreat. Don't hide just because it seems tough at work.
Keep taking opportunities. When it is tough serving Jesus at work, when we are tempted to stop holding on to Jesus, when we are tempted to stop taking those opportunities, well, again, Jesus says to us, recognize the reality. And the reality is that while we may feel insignificant now, the reality is actually we will be, in the future, we will be pillars in society. Quite literally. Just look over the page at verse 12, would you, and what Jesus says there. Verse 12. Look at what Jesus says. He says, "Him who overcomes, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God." As Christians, we may feel bowed down, we may feel defeated, we may feel exhausted serving Jesus now. But Jesus says we will be a key part of heaven. We will be a pillar in the heavenly society. I don't know if you, when you were back at school, have you had those little name tapes sewn into your clothes with your name on it? As a teenager, I went to boarding school. And when you were at boarding school there, you had to have your name tape. It didn't just have your name, you also had your laundry number on as well. Mine was U79. I can remember it very well. And I must admit, actually, a few of my current T-shirts, boxer shorts, socks, they still have my name tape in, which shows how long they've been around. But anyway, that's a different matter. But verse 12, we read that Jesus gives all Christians not one name tape, but three name tapes. And three name tapes that actually they last forever. Just look at halfway through verse 12. He says, "I will write on him the name of my God," name tape one, "and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which is coming down out of heaven from my God," name tape two, "and I will also write on him my new name," name tape three. And each of those three name tapes written on us who are Christians, each of them, they show that we belong. That we belong to God. That we belong to heaven. And that we belong to Jesus. For the last three and a bit weeks, we as a family, we haven't been able to live in our flat because we've been invaded by mice. It hasn't been particularly nice. I won't go into all the gory details. But while we've been out of the flat, me, my wife, and our little daughter, we've been staying with various people from the church family. Now, the various people that we've been staying with, they have been so, so kind to us. Amazingly generous. Really, really kind. But, you know, as kind as they have been, the three of us, we have been longing to get back home. And this weekend, we are hopefully, finally, moving back into our flat. And I've got to say, I am so, so looking forward to it. To be back home. To be settled. To feel we are where we belong. And that feeling, only a million times more, will be how we feel when we are in heaven. Serving Jesus at work now, it is often very tough. But when we are before the throne of God and we're serving him, day and night, in his temple, wearing our white robes with our three name tapes on, well then, we will finally feel that we are where we belong. Let's pray to close. Just in the quiet, I'm just going to read actually from Revelation 7, from verse 13. "Then one of the elders asked me, 'These in white robes, who are they and where did they come from?' I answered, 'Sir, you know.' And he said, 'These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will spread his tent over them. Never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat upon them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." Father God, we thank you so much for this amazing picture of heaven. Father, would that certain hope of heaven for all of us who have robes made white by the blood of the Lamb, with that amazing picture of heaven, would it encourage us to keep going, serving the Lord Jesus in our workplace? Amen.